Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
I talked to one of my heroes, Pastor Rod Parsley, this week, and he said, "I'd like to come preach for you, buddy." And that's how he talks. This is Pastor Rod Parsley. And I said, "I'd like to come preach for you," and we left it at that. No, just kidding. But people love Living Way. Living Way has a great history, a great knowledge when people know Living Way, of the house that it is and the gifts that are in this place. And we want to thank you for making it like that as well. So turn to your neighbor and tell them, thank you. Praise God. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, Isaiah 54, verse 1 through 3. This past Wednesday night, Bishop was preaching, and God dropped something in my spirit with one statement Bishop made, and we're going to jump off into that here in just a moment. 1 week from today is Mother's Day. We're excited to honor, celebrate mothers, and as my request, Bishop's request, Pastor Becky and Pastor Mandy will be doing both services next week, so we're excited for that, and so bring your mom. And kids, come to church, be ready to worship, praise. We'll have a great time. And then this coming Saturday, all of our young adults and teens, we'd love to see at Catalyst. Y'all remember Pastor Bill Moore, his oldest son, Ryan Moore, is going to be preaching on Saturday night. And so join us. He's a great preacher, great family. We'll have a great time Saturday night. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Isaiah 54, verses 1 through 3. Sing, O barren, that thou didst not bear, break forth into singing. Cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent. Stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation, spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and the seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. I want to preach for just a moment on the subject, take the limits off. Actually, let's check that. Let's change that title to break the limits off. There's a difference between taking off and breaking off. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, no limits, no boundaries. I see increase all around me. That's an old song. No limits, no boundaries. I see increase all around me. Stretch forth, break forth, release me. And enlarge my territory. Now sing that to your neighbor. No, just kidding. You may be seated. Ephesians 3:20 gets a lot of prime time in pulpits. How many of you love that scripture? I love it. I love that God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, because there's some things that you've asked for that God says, I want to do more than that. But there's been some outlandish things that God has dropped in your spirit that you've thought about, but you've never verbalized. Anybody with me today? That the blessing is so big, that the promise, the vision, the dream is so grand that God has placed in your spirit and your mind that you say, if I just spoke of that, people would call me crazy. Well, I'm here to tell you that the God of exceeding abundance said that he will do more than you can ask or that you can think, but it doesn't end there. The power of a comma, according to the power that worketh within us, and we know that that power is Jesus Christ. One of the more obvious scriptures when I think of Ephesians 3:20, when you read Ephesians as a whole, Ephesians 4:20 is just as important, because Ephesians 3:20 tells us that the excessive abundance of God in our lives relies on the power of Christ that works within us. Meaning, if you allow Jesus to have his perfect work within you and within me, that we will have what we think and what we ask. But Paul cautions the church of Ephesus and says, you have not so learned Christ. Meaning you have learned Christ a different way. You have learned a limited God. You have learned a God that does have things that he cannot do and will not do. And I'm here to encourage you that if you grew up in a religious home that told you that God was not able, I'm here to tell you we love your family and we love your mom and them and we love Cousin Ray Ray and everybody in your family that shows up at the reunion. But I'm here to tell you that God can and God will. What his word says is yes and amen. Almost 4,000 promises in the word of God are written directly to you and to your household. And if you can say it, God can do it. If you can think it, God can do it. But you've got to learn the Christ of the New Testament. The Christ that there is no limitations, that he is an unstoppable God, that there is no equal to God. See, we look at God as his name. God is not his name. God is his title. Jesus is his name, and Jesus has no rival. Jesus has no equal. All these other interfaith, I can never get with interfaith people because my God is better than their God. For me to stand on the same platform of another religion means that I have to dumb my God down. I'm sorry, I can't dumb down Jesus. He's done too much for me. You cannot put God in a box. You cannot put God in a jar. He's way too big. He's so big that when Jesus was baptized, that the voice of God showed up, that the Holy Spirit descended as a dove, he could not be contained in one man. I'm here to tell you, your God is bigger than you give him credit for. He's bigger than you've ever thought. Let me talk to the believer in here that you have a lot of faith and you say, I serve a big God. He's bigger than you even think he is. He's greater than you ever thought he was. We serve a great God. And so Bishop preached this past Wednesday, and he preached earlier in the 9 a.m., the discovery of abundance. And he made one statement on Wednesday night that went off like a bomb in my spirit. Anybody ever have that happen? When the preacher's preacher, you're studying, you're meditating, that God just drops one phrase, and this is the phrase that Bishop said, God hates limitation. Let me say that again. God hates limitation. God does not want you to be limited or have a limitation in any area of your life. God hates limitation because it is the antithesis of who he is. God is a God without limits, without boundaries. I was sitting on a panel a few years ago, and I was sitting there with some other pastors and praise and worship leaders, and one person from the crowd said to a friend of mine, he said, do you believe in thinking outside of the box, talking about creativity and talking about music, all of those things? And I love my friend's answer. He said, I destroyed the box a long time ago because I'm not going to be kept in a place that somebody else tells me that I have to stay in. Can you be encouraged today that God is not working in your life according to how he does it in somebody else's life, and nobody can determine or define the parameters in your life that God wants to bless. God doesn't want to bless you in the box. God wants to break you out the box so that you have no parameters and you have, listen, strengthened and get ready to get bigger because the limitations are being removed. If God hates limitation, then why do we as believers embrace it? We embrace it by our words and vernacular. We embrace it by just saying, well, it's just not my time. We embrace it by saying, well, I just didn't grow up with those opportunities. I'm the wrong gender. I'm the wrong age. I'm the wrong color. If I could use an old country term, that's hogwash. Don't buy into the enemy's lie. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what gender you are. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks you were born on. God is about to break the limitations off of your life if you will depend on the power of Jesus Christ to work in you, on you, and with you. We serve a limitless God. However, most believers live like we serve a limited God. From the very beginning of the word in Genesis chapter 1, we are introduced to a limitless God, a God that stood on nothing and created everything. Genesis 1:2 says that the Spirit of God moved on the face of the earth. I love that the Spirit of God was moving at the very beginning because the Spirit of God that created everything is still working in us today. let me just describe just one part of our limitless God that I believe is going to encourage you. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven, divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Verse 15, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater lights to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. The writer of Genesis tells us that God made the sun, that God made the moon, that God made these two heavenly bodies that literally control the tides and control the seasons, control the heat and control the cold. And then at the very end of verse 16, he just throws out here, and he made the stars. Like the stars weren't that big of a deal compared to the sun and compared to the moon, but God is a creative God. Let me just tell you about your God. The universe that we live in is somewhere between 28 to 46.5 billion light years from the place we are standing to any edge. The Earth is located in our galaxy, which is called the Milky Way galaxy, which is 1,000 light years across. There are billions of stars. There is an estimated, on the low end, they say around 5 billion, but scientists are more comfortable in the range of 100 billion to 200 billion stars just in our galaxy. There is said to be several hundred billion galaxies. You run out of numbers. See, the scientists are talking about the great expanse, and I'm talking about the God that said, let there be, and there was. So you say, Pastor, I don't care about the stars. You should care about the stars, because every time you look up and you say, God, this is just the Milky Way. God, I'm just seeing I'm seeing a few billion stars, and God's saying, that's only in your galaxy. There's a few hundred billion more galaxies out there like that. And listen, I spoke all that with one word. Can I encourage you, when you understand the God that you serve, that when you can shout about the stars that he made and say, God, if you did all of that with a snap of your fingers and the voice coming out, the words coming out of your mouth and your voice, then God, I believe that anything that I have need of, I believe that any place that I lack, God, that I serve a limitless God. Can I introduce you to any problem you've got is no problem compared to what God has already done. And so when I look at my God, I say, God, I'm more important than the stars. I'm more important than the galaxy. And you hung all those stars and me, you made sure I had a sun and a moon to govern my life. But I'm here to tell you, God, that I love you, and I know you love me more than any part of your creation. And when I have need of something, God, I serve a limitless God. But we love to embrace the limited because it takes responsibility off of us. We blame God. We blame God for lack. We blame God for excess of things that we don't want in our lives. And we blame God for all of the travesty that happens in this world. And God is saying, don't lay that at my feet. Don't charge me foolishly, as Bishop preached this morning. And I'm here to encourage you that every good and perfect gift still comes from above. It still comes from a God that loves you. And every bad thing comes from an enemy that hates you, that does not want you to have yourself availed to a limitless God. I am here to encourage the oldest of saint and the newest convert that the God that you serve is bigger, is greater, is stronger. Genesis 1, 2, the Spirit moved. Romans 8, 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead now dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. I am here to tell you, the very same Spirit that spoke everything into existence in Genesis 1 is the same very Spirit that raised Christ up from the dead. And when you got filled with the Spirit of God, when you came over to the side of Christ and that Spirit was on you and then came out of you like a river, I am here to tell you the same Spirit that slung billions of stars is waiting on a command of faith and authority. And if you've got the faith and authority that when you open up your mouth, you can create any world that you need to live in. James 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give to men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. You say, what if I don't need wisdom? No, wisdom is the thing that you need. You get wisdom, you can conquer anything else. You get wisdom, you can produce anything else. Too many of us are looking for a fish, and we want somebody to feed us for a day, not knowing that if we learn how to fish, we will feed ourselves for a lifetime and never be dependent on another man or woman the rest of our life. I am here to tell you, quit praying for things and start praying for wisdom. Say, God, you are a limitless God, and I want the wisdom so that I can see you as such, as a God that will supply all of my needs according to his glory, according to Jesus Christ. Come on now, verse 6. But let him ask in faith. Somebody say faith.
Faith.
Nothing wavering. That's where we get caught up, is the wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. I want to introduce you to a man in the Bible. If you've been here very long, you maybe have heard a sermon or two about him. Maybe you had a magnet on your refrigerator, but it was a man by the name of Jabez. Jabez is introduced to us in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Jabez is not mentioned in any other book except 1 Chronicles. His name is mentioned less than 5 times in the Old Testament. But there's something about Jabez that I think we should know. Jabez called on God, verse 10. And he said, oh, that thou would bless me indeed, enlarge my coast. So take off my limits, that your hand might be with me, that thou would keep me from evil, that it would not grieve me. How many of you know that? That's a great prayer. I love the prayer. But what I really like is the response. Because it's not a verse later. It's not 3 months later. It's not after you've gone to 4 conferences and had the greatest faith teachers pray for you, lay hands on you, blow on you, smile at you, or sweat on you. In the very same prayer that Jabez prays, when he said, enlarge my territory, keep your hand with me, keep me from evil, and bless me indeed. The Bible says, the very same verse, God granted him that request. Oh, can I talk to somebody that God wants to answer your prayer before you stand back up? God wants to answer your prayer before you leave the pew. And it all comes down to one thing. Am I going to get faith that is constant and unwavering? Am I going to get faith that never changes? See, I love what Jabez prayed. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what he prayed. Is it answered? Jabez knows I serve a limitless God, and anything, this is what I want to bless you with today, anything that you ask is nothing for God to do. Anything that we ask is nothing for God. Well, Pastor, I need God to do this. I'm about to have to foreclose on my home, and I need $200,000. It's nothing to God. Well, I've had cancer, and this cancer is eating me from the inside. I am here to tell you, remember, you serve a God that didn't sling the stars out. He spoke them into existence, and if it was as if they had been hanging there for 1,000,000 years. I need somebody like Jabez to get some faith that says, Pastor Brandon, when I pray my prayer, as I'm praying it, God is doing it. As I'm saying it, God is performing it. I know I serve a limitless God, and so when I speak it, God is performing it. But the reason that we do not receive from the Lord is what James said, that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. One translation says, in everything that he does, there is instability. And what happens to us is when we are not like Jabez, and we go to church without becoming the church, there's an issue there. We've got a lot of people that go to church and you don't become the church. Let me tell you, the issue with going to church and not becoming the church is you're around faith-filled people on Sunday. You got the praise team hitting the right notes, singing the right song. You got Bishop preaching a masterpiece. You come to an altar and you've got an altar worker praying with you and praying for you and speaking life and speaking faith. And your faith surges on Sunday mornings at 11:55 a.m. But because we are not the church, we just go to church, that means we leave the thing that made us have faith. I love Living Way, but the greatest praise and worship I have is not on Sundays or Wednesday. I love Bishop preaching, But the greatest revelations that I've ever received, he might confirm them, but I get them on an idle Tuesday afternoon. I believe Jabez was a man who walked with God, talked with God, lived with God, who struggled with God like Jacob. It wasn't a place that he went. He said, I bring the church with me because I am the church. And every time I open up my mouth, God himself shows up and does everything I need him to do. I'm talking to somebody that's been praying a prayer and you're tired of waiting. Your waiting season is over when your wavering season is over. Your waiting season is over once you put your foot down in faith and say, I serve a limitless God. Turn to your neighbor and tell him your waiting season, it ends with your wavering season. Oh, that's a word for somebody. You can't have faith on Sunday and flesh on Monday. It's faith, 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 faith. When I speak it, I'm surprised that it doesn't happen. And I keep speaking. I keep declaring. I keep living. The devil cannot limit God. Let me say that again. The devil cannot limit God. There's nothing the devil can do to limit God in your life. To limit God is up to us to limit God in our lives. But listen to this. Even when I limit God in my life, I've still not limited God. Because I can say he can or he won't, and you can say he can and he will, and it can happen 10 feet from me in your life and not happen in my life. God was not limited. I just limited myself in his presence. Talking to somebody today. Don't you get tired of watching somebody else get blessed? Don't you get tired of seeing somebody else get their miracle? I'm not saying that to be facetious, and I'm not saying that I tire and grow weary of watching people. But what I'm saying is if it happens to them, it should be happening to you. This is what Paul would write in 2 Corinthians 5, that you are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. If you are an ambassador of Christ, you've got to be living a limitless life. Why? Because you are what people see. They don't see Jesus. They don't hear Jesus. He's not walking on this earth, and he's not up in the synagogue or temple preaching. What they see is somebody who says they follow him, love him, and that he's a part of their life. And as an ambassador of Christ, I've got to live the best, dress the best, drive the best. I've got to be an ambassador in the church, out the church. Listen, you be an ambassador in here don't help nobody. This is the secret society. We know you love Jesus. You wouldn't be here on a Sunday. We know that you serve Jesus. Some of you, most of you serve Jesus. You wouldn't be a Living Way if you didn't. We know that you love good praise. We know that you love good worship. We all know that about you. It doesn't help me to know that about you. It's the people out beyond this church that need to be introduced to a limitless God. That they've got people on their in their families. They're struggling. They can't make ends meet. They are depressed. They are suicidal. And they need to be preached the gospel of Jesus. And the Bible says that we are living epistles seen and read of all men. I am an ambassador. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, I am an ambassador. A limitless God is what we serve. The Old Testament says things like this. I love this, Psalm 119:96. Even perfection has its limits, but your commands, God, have no limits. It says perfection has its place, but it's limited. Because how many of you know you can have a really, really, really good day, and then you can have a really, 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 really bad day. And as good as you can be, as good as I can be, it's only for a season. And then I get hangry. If you were here last week, you know what I'm talking about. I had my Whataburger. God bless. It was awesome. And so perfection is limited, the psalmist says. But your command, and see, you've got to be able to, and one of my friends has been really, really doing a great job on social media talking about the power and the importance and value of the Old Testament. If the only books you read are in the New Testament, you're missing out on a lot of good stuff. Because when the psalmist David says this, that perfection is limited, but your command is unlimited, you have to be able to insert the words what he means. Because this is what the Bible says. The Bible says that Jesus has exalted his word above his name. Now, come on, you know how we feel about the name of Jesus. You know how we shout that name. We claim that name. It's what separates us from everybody. And Jesus said, I know you love my name, but do you love my word? can you really love my name if you don't love my word? And when we talk about word, it's any time in the Old Testament that says the law. When you see the law, when you see words like the will, when you see words like testament, when you see command, it is talking about the word. And so we know that the word is exalted above the name of Christ. But when you go to John 1:1, Jesus said, I am the word. In the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. And so what the psalmist is saying is perfection is limited, but your command has no limits. David tapped into the fact that I serve a limitless God, that even when I am limited in my perfection, I have a relationship with a God whom in the New Testament we know is Jesus. In the Old Testament, he was Yeshua. But David said, I've got access to a God that even when I make mistakes, the love of God has no limits. Even when I commit adultery with Bathsheba, the grace of God has no limits. Even when I kill her husband, the mercy of God has no limits. I'm not just talking about bigger houses and bigger bank accounts. Sometimes none of the other stuff matters, and you say, God, I need an unlimited amount of your grace, of your mercy, of your peace, of your joy, of your power, of your anointing. If I get all that right, everything else will work out. Jeremiah 32:17, Jeremiah would say, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by the great power and your stretched arm. And Jeremiah, he was preaching and praying like I preached just a few moments ago, talking about the great expanse that God has created. And this is what Jeremiah would say, and nothing is too hard for the Lord. When you make a statement like that, what you're saying is, God, I recognize you're a God of no limits. There is nothing that you cannot do. Let's go to the New Testament. Jesus said it like this, Matthew 19:26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible. He said, with men, your options are limited. What? And I've walked through some valleys with some people in this church in the last few years, some cancer valleys, some family valleys. And one of the things that they always say when cancer is the diagnosis is, I'm going to meet with them next week so that I can find out all of my options. And the sad state of affairs is, we love doctors, we love medicine, they all work for the great physician, his name is Christ, but they're limited. At the end of the day, they're hoping that it works. But I move from hope to faith. If you were here last week, hope is the mother of faith. It gives birth to faith. Hope is, man, it could change. And I think it will. I believe it. Faith is, I know it's going to happen. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No, it's not. Jesus comes to say, with men, your options are limited. It is impossible. But with God, nothing, no thing is impossible. What that means is there is no limit. I'm talking to somebody. I need you to think bigger. I need you to dream bigger. I need your faith to get like Jabez, not wavering, because I know the God that created it all, and I know that whatever I need pales in comparison. He goes on to say, Mark 9:23, Jesus said, if thou can believe, all things are possible. He said, there is no limits to those that believe. John 10:10, the thief comes not to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. One translation says, life without limits. Life without limits. Jesus will change your life. No limits. No more boundaries. Your family tried to put you in a box. No more. Your boss tried to put you in a box. Said you don't have the education for that. There are people scattered all over this room that have jobs beyond their education because they've tapped into the no-limit God that they serve. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Come on, that's without limits. Shall men give unto your bosom for the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured back to you again. There's three things that you have to understand about your God that is going to transition your thinking from a limited God to a limitless God. Number one, God is not mocked. God has 4,000 promises. And when his promises don't happen in your life, no one blames you. They blame God. Well, I did this and God just didn't come through. God always comes through. You say, well, I haven't seen the excessive abundance that he promises, Ephesians 3:20. Do you have the power of Christ working in you? Because if you don't have the power of Christ working on you, in you, and for you, then you're never going to step into the excessive abundance of God, the limitless part of God. Galatians 6, 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, he shall also reap. Whatever you put in, you're going to pull out. How many of you have a bank account? I hope you've got more than a checking. Hope you've got a savings, a CD, something, an investment, 401k, IRA, something. How many of you have multiple banks? Raise your hand. All right, tomorrow I want you to go to a bank that you do not have an account at and demand money. You know what we call that? Robbery. There's never been, well, I say never. There's probably some dumb criminals. But I doubt many criminals rob the bank that they have money at. They usually rob the bank because they don't have money. And they'd go to a bank that they don't have any relationship with, so they will not be found out. Can I encourage you that you're going to pull out what you put in? We've had testimonies in the last 4.5 months of this year of people who have received incredible blessings of God. And every one of them that I know personally, I can say, God, there is an expectation there because I know what they put in. I know that they've sowed. I know that they've sacrificed. I know, God, what they've done to produce that result. And you say, what did they do? They allowed the power of Christ to work in them. And it produced the excessive abundance. Number one, God is not mocked. God is not mocked. God does not. You're an ambassador of Jesus Christ. You should make God look like $1 trillion. You should make everybody in your job and in your family want to get saved tonight when they see the kind of life that you're living, because they know they went to the same high schools that you did. They got the same, some of us, same GED, and they're saying, how are you doing all that? And when they say that, you can say, I'm glad you asked. It's the limitless God that I serve. Number two, God does not change. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me say that again. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You think of all the incredible things Jesus did in the New Testament. He's the same God doing the same things in this season. You say, well, he's not in my life. Get in on what God is doing. Remember, you can limit his impact in your life, but you can't limit God. If he's not doing it in your life, it doesn't mean that he's not doing it anywhere. He just hadn't opened the windows of heaven over your life. But as for me and my house, I'm making sure that before I pay my rent, I pay my tithe. I'm making sure before I come to your house, I go to his house. Why? Because I'm making sure that the power of Jesus Christ, the same power that created the galaxies, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, I want to make sure that it's working in me. That's why I don't hang out with certain people. I don't do certain things. I don't snort certain things. I don't drink certain. You say, Pastor Brandon, you're stepping on my toes. I'd rather step on your toes and get Jesus in you then avoid your toes and you keep living without him working in you, because it is the power of Christ in you. God does not change. James chapter 1 verse 17, every good and perfect gift comes from above, comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I am blessed. I am married to a Jesus woman. 15 years I've been married to her, and she's like Jesus. She never changes. You say, man, is that good or bad? It's great. I promise you. She's awesome. Some of you say, I have one that never changes either. It's terrible. We'll get Jesus working on the inside of you, and it's going to get on the inside of them. But I'm going to tell you what. Brandon's all over the place. I heard an uh-oh. I need an amen, not an uh-oh. Mandy's right here. And some days I'm slaying Goliaths, and some days I am Goliath. Oh, come on now. You thought I was going to say sometimes I'm running from Goliath. No, sometimes I'm slaying him, sometimes I am him. I might be the only one that's being real in this place today, getting kind of quiet. Just look straight ahead. If I'm talking about your husband, your wife, don't look at him now. Don't get in trouble. It's going to cost you brunch and lunch. Don't do it. But she is the factor in my life, along with the Holy Ghost, that always brings me back to a sinner. Center, not sinner, center. Brings me back to the center. Because I don't want to be all over the place. I want to be like Jesus Christ. I want to be faith-filled every day of my life. I want to have faith when good things happen. I want to have faith when all hell breaks loose. I want to have faith when people walk in my life. I want to have faith when the same people stab me in the back and walk out. I want to have faith when the sun's shining. I want to have faith during Hurricane Harvey. It does not matter what's going on in my life. I want faith. I don't want to be down. I don't want to be angry one day, and I don't want to be shouting about Jesus the next day. I don't want to be praising one day and pitiful the next day. I'm talking to somebody today. Jesus never changed. And for us to have an unlimited God, we have to become like Him, which is faith-filled every day of our lives, not allowing what is going on around us to get in us. God is not mocked. God does not change. And this is my favorite, number three. God does not lie. God does not lie. I told a friend of mine this week, I had a business going on, and I was doing some volunteer work and this past year, and I got an email from somebody, and they called me a liar. You can, listen, you talk about Mandy and we'll fight. You talk about my kids and we'll fight. I'm saved. I ain't that saved. I will throw down, and I'll be in the first one in the altar next service. Don't talk about my kids, my wife, my mama, my daddy, my brother, family. Amen. Blood's thicker than water. But there's a lot of things you can call me, but don't call me a liar. I'm not a liar. I despise lying. Why? Because the Bible calls the devil the father of lies. I come from the old school that a handshake is the deal. It ends it. I don't need a contract. Now I make everybody I know, and I tell them when they're signing the contract, I need you to sign this contract. It's not because I don't trust you. It's just I don't trust anybody. Sign the contract. Because lying is the antithesis of God. So don't say something to God that you do not follow through on. Why? Because God's promises are yes and amen. He cannot and will not lie to you. So when He says He's going to do something, He's going to do it. And so if God says He's going to do it and He's going to do it, then He expects anything that I say for me to follow through on. I want to encourage you today. You have a God that has spoken something in your life. Maybe it hadn't been in the last 10 days or 10 weeks. Maybe it was 10 years ago. I'm here to tell you the God that spoke it 10 years ago has kept a track record of what He has said. And God is not going to lie to you. What He has promised you, He will perform. What He has told you, He will bring to pass. You just got to tap back into the flow of the limitless God. And when you understand that what God has promised, you can take it to the bank. You can go... That's why we dance in advance. Why? Because when God says it, it's already happened. Whether I can see it physically or not, I can dance in advance. Why? Because I know I serve a limitless God. Hebrews 6:18. It is impossible for God to lie. You go throughout the Word of God. Joshua chapter 6. Bishop talked about this on Wednesday night. Stand on your feet. The walls of Jericho were a limitation. That's why God brought them down. The woman with the pots of oil borrowed the vessels and borrowed them not a few. The lack of pots was her limitation. He said, keep borrowing, keep borrowing, keep borrowing. The problem is she left her blessing up to her two sons when she should have done it herself. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 15, Elisha tells the king to strike the ground. He strikes it three times and says, you should have done more than that. You're going to have three victories and that's it. I'm here to tell you, God is a God without limits. Luke chapter 5, verse 17, four men carried their paralyzed friend to the rooftop. The house was designed to limit this man from his healing. They broke through. Can I encourage you today? We're not taking the limits off. Because if you take the limits off, somebody can place them back on. Maybe you, maybe somebody else. We're here to break the limits off. Sing, O barren, verse 1. Break forth into singing. Somebody needs to make a breaking move today. That you're not here to just flip a switch. You're here to break the switch off after you turn it on. I'll never go back to being like I was. I'm breaking the limitations off. Not of God, off of how I view God and how I see God. There's a family that stands in this altar today. God has done a lot of great things in their lives the last few weeks. The enemy's tried to stop them, tried to slow them down, but they stand here today. They've broke forth. I want to encourage somebody in this house today, if you are living under any limitation, whether they are self-imposed, whether you've allowed other people to speak them into your life, speak them over your life, I need you to join me in this altar right now, because today is your day of breaking that cycle. Today is your day of breaking off the limits that you have placed on God.